Thanks for downloading this free audio sermon from Bethel Church, Coventry. For more audio downloads, updates on the building project and other information, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.
Hi, are you ready to order?
Oh, it's such a hot day. I'll just like a long, tall glass of water, please.
Still or sparkling?
Still, please.
Volcanically filtered or spring?
Spring will be fine, thanks.
High or low sodium?
What's best?
Well, I prefer low sodium.
Okay, then.
Sure. Fair trade or free market?
Fair trade, I suppose.
Vitamin enhanced or pure?
I just want a glass of water.
I'll take that as pure. Regular or large?
Large, and today if possible.
Okay, so that's the still, spring, low sodium, fair trade, pure, large water.
Yes.
I'm sorry, but we don't have any of that.
What have you got?
We've only got bottles of our finest local water.
Well, that will do.
Coming right up.
I can't drink that. Look at it.
You asked for water. That's our water.
Is this what you drink?
Yes, that's from our best water supply.
Ugh, it can't be good for you. Am I really expected to drink this?
Oh no, you're expected to order Coca-Cola like all the other rich customers do.
I'm going to have to use this because I've got some notes. But I've got to bring it up to human size. Sorry. Right, I've got some. It's great to see you here today. And I don't know about you, but I've drank quite a lot of water in the last day or so because I was in the garden yesterday doing that kind of gardening thing that grown-ups are supposed to do. And it was roasting out there, wasn't it? It was amazing. And so I drank quite a lot of water, and I'm still thirsty this morning. I've got some great dad facts for you. Well, I tend to sort of spout a lot of facts to my kids, and they go, it's one of them dad facts again. And so here's just a few dad facts before we get into what we're going to look at today. Humans are made up of 70% water. That's a lot of water, isn't it? Only 5% of the water on the whole planet is drinkable. That's not much, really, is it? Bearing in mind that we're 70% water. A fifth of that water, of all the water that's drinkable in the whole world, is contained in the Great Lakes of North America. So, North America, if you live around the Great Lakes, you're water rich. And my hero, one of my heroes, Bear Grylls, has got this fantastic, easy way to remember how to keep yourself alive. And it's the rule of threes. 3 minutes without air, 3 days without water, and 3 weeks without food. 3 days, that's all we've got, if we've got no water. That's pretty incredible, isn't it, really? So you can see that water is really precious to us. It's essential to our survival. And when we look in the Bible, it's full of references to water. And the Jews especially had a real used the kind of the symbols of water, and the whole sort of their history was tied up with events that they could point to where they talked about their relationship to God in reference to water. So in Jeremiah, they talk about the Lord being like a spring of living water. And the psalmists talk about their souls thirsting for God like a deer pants for the water in Psalm 42. So today, for just a few minutes, I want us to look at just a couple of three verses in John chapter 7 about Jesus' invitation to drink. And this is a kind of climax to a series of references in the first few chapters of John where this theme of water keeps kind of coming back. So in chapter 2, we see Jesus' first miracle when he turned the water into wine at the wedding. And in chapter 3, we see Jesus having a chat with this guy Nicodemus, and he talks about the water of new birth, how we can be born of God. And then in chapter 4, a really famous passage that we've studied here, I know, in the past, where Jesus goes to a well, and he's thirsty, it's hot, it's the middle of the day, and he asks a lady for some water. And she's quite startled because she's a Samaritan, and the Jews didn't really talk to Samaritans, and especially Jewish men didn't talk to Samaritan women. But he talks to her about having the living water. And then in chapter 5, we see Jesus going to this pool, the pool of Bethesda. And this pool was renowned. It was a beautiful place. But loads of people who were ill or who were sick or were paralyzed and that kind of thing went there, because when the water was stirred, the first person to go into the water was healed. And Jesus goes to a guy there who has been there for years and years and years and asks him a really important question. Do you want to get well? And then goes on to talk to him about the cleansing and healing of God. And then in chapter 6, We see an occasion where Jesus is out on the lake, and I love going to the seaside, and we live, 100 miles away from the nearest seaside, but it can be quite scary if you've seen it raging. And Jesus goes out with his mates, the fishermen, and they get into a storm, and they're petrified, and Jesus is asleep, and he calms the storm. And then, so all of these have kind of revealed something of Jesus, his character, his mission as God's agent to bring this kind of the gracious offer of life to the world. And so we get to this passage in John chapter 7. This is verse 37. I'm just going to read these couple of verses. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let everyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him would later receive. Up to that time the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. So here's Jesus. He's gone up to Jerusalem, and he's gone to the Feast of Tabernacles. It was the Jewish harvest festival. And it was a massive party for a week. We have like a morning, don't we? But they had a week long party. And I tell you what, the Jews really knew how to celebrate. They really went for it. And they would get together, they would build these little shelters in their gardens or around the streets around Jerusalem. And the shelters were there specifically so they could kind of spend some time together and really praise God for his provision. And these shelters, I was looking at some of the history of it. These shelters, they were kind of quite prescribed what they could do and what they couldn't do. And the shelter should have had a roof to keep the sun off, but it was also should be see-through enough so that at night they could see the stars and praise God for creation and all that kind of stuff. So here they were at this week-long party. And each day there was a procession, and they would all join in to this procession. The priests would go from the temple to the pool of Siloam, which was a pool of fresh water that was brought into the city. And they would draw water out of that pool, and then they would return to the temple. They'd take the water in procession around the altar of the temple, and then they'd pour it out as an offering to God. And all the time that was going on, the singers, they had a full-on choir, were singing Psalm 113 to 118. I'll give you like one sentence from each of these psalms. It's amazing. Psalm 113, praise the name of the Lord. Psalm 114, tremble earth at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, who turned the rock into a pool, the hard rock into springs of water. 115, not so us, Lord, not so us. But to your name be glory, because of your love and your faithfulness. Psalm 116. What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. Psalm 117 says, for great is his love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. And Psalm 118 says, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. So this is the backdrop to what Jesus is saying. So on the last day of the feast, the greatest day of the feast, they didn't go round the altar once with their offering. They went round seven times. Strange that, isn't it? We've heard that before in several other occasions where God has done mighty things. So here's the priests. They walk round the altar seven times. It was a time of great joy. It's a time of massive celebration. In fact, this was a saying that they had. If you've never seen the joy of the water drawing at the Feast of Tabernacles, then never in your life have you seen real joy. That's how high their kind of joy was at this time. So, on the seventh day, they walk around the altar seven times and pour out the offering. And Jesus stands up, and it says in a loud voice, he raised his voice. And he probably needed to, because there was a lot going on. And Jesus here is offering them the Holy Spirit, the sign that his kingdom had come, that his kingdom was here. And if we look at the Bible, and we look at the kind of the big story of the Bible, the one story effectively that is from beginning to end, we see a really amazing kind of circular picture here. So in Genesis chapter 2, right at the very beginning of the Bible, we see this imagery of a river flowing from Eden. And this is a river of blessing, so that the land can be fruitful, so that the world can increase and be bountiful. And then in the sort of middle of the Bible, we see Ezekiel, and he has this vision. And in Ezekiel 47, he sees a river flowing out of the temple in heaven to bring blessing to the world. And so we see here Jesus' offer here in the temple. It's begun to fulfill this kind of Ezekiel vision. It will come to completion at the end of time. So if we look at John's vision in Revelation 22, John says this, then the angel showed me a river, the river of water, of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and from the Lamb. So where does that leave us? These are all great stories, and this is all amazing. But what does that mean to us now, in the 21st century, living in Coventry? Well, I think the words of Jesus kind of echo in our ears at harvest time, don't they? Especially when, you know, we have a choice of, I don't know how many teas, we've got a choice of 20 odd teas, a whole aisle full of bread. We've got so much, haven't we? And, you know, a tap with clean water in that we can just turn on any time. But Jesus stands at the doors of our hearts today, and he offers us something. He offers us water, living water, to quench the thirst of our souls. The living water of God that flows, of life that flows from God. His offer is universal. He offers it to all. It's addressed to us as individuals. The first requirement of that is that you have a thirst. And I think everybody's got a thirst. Not just a literal thirst, like yesterday when I was in the garden, but a thirst of the soul. And down through history, the human condition has borne witness to this. We've seen people chasing after all sorts of things to satisfy the thirst of our souls. Trying to find reason, trying to find meaning to life. What do we desire? What do we thirst for? I want to encourage you to thirst after God. Like the psalmist said, their souls thirsted for God, like a deer pants for water. So if our thirst, the soul thirst, has been satisfied by the living water of God, then we should look out. Look out from where we are, where we live, where we work, where we go to church. This should kind of fuel our evangelism. We've had our thirst satisfied with the living water. Jesus said to the lady at the well, didn't he? If you drink this water, you'll never thirst again. So, what can we do to offer this living water to the people we come into contact with? There are loads of people out there who are desperately thirsty and are trying to fill up their lives with stuff to satisfy that thirst, but it doesn't work. But we know where the living water can be found. Drinking is believing. Jesus is offering us something to quench that thirst. Something even better than that. He says it's like a well, a fountain even, of living water flowing through us, from us, and through us to impact the world when we come to him with open hands. We receive all that his grace offers us. Look to the living water today. Okay. Yes, we're going to watch a video about the Life Water Project.
Every day, millions of people wake up to a world without safe water, without a safe place to go to the bathroom, without hope. The global water and sanitation crisis is just that, a crisis. And we believe that as Christians, we should be on the front lines bringing that crisis to an end. It's a belief that has compelled us as an organization for more than 40 years.
My father and mother, God used their desire of wanting to be a part of this vast world. He would tell me 30,000 people die each day. How can I stand back and not do something about it? And that was my mom and dad. Bill and Lorraine Ash, the wonderful founders of Life Water International.
It was quite evident to me that this was a really big problem worldwide. But you start somewhere and you do something, and the people that we went to serve, it made a difference for them.
Bill saw that safe water went beyond just building wells, and that to make a lasting impact, you needed to think about all aspects of health as it relates to water. In the 2000s, Life Water officially adopted a WASH strategy, water access, sanitation, and hygiene, focusing on community development.
We began with those three distinct curriculums, but even over time, those have adapted and changed to now include what's called Life Water's vision of a healthy village.
The vision of a healthy village is all about relationships first, a steadfast, ongoing commitment to community. Our local staff walk alongside families to tackle all forms of water poverty until a community is certified as a healthy village. Today, we are beginning to see the fruits of our labor. Right now, there are more than 66,000 people actively participating in our Vision of a Healthy Village program. That's across three countries and multiple cultures. Over the last 40 years, Life Water has served more than 2.5 million people across 40 different countries. But what's truly transformational is when the families we serve experience the love of Christ and then turn around and do likewise for their neighbors.
Well, one of the most profound statements that we made was, since you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. And there is a profound truth to that. that as a volunteer or as a worker, you are in the rural areas helping the poor. There is a sense of Jesus' presence in accomplishing these things, and the joy that you see in the faces of those that you're helping. There's a uniqueness to that that's hard to describe, but it's true about how Jesus is there and his presence makes a difference in the way it's received, the way that it lasts, and what it does in a community. It becomes more than just safe drinking water for a few people. It becomes a miracle in the community.
It's very humbling, isn't it, watching something like that? And we can only imagine what it's like not to have clean water every day and water to drink. We're just going to take some time now maybe to respond to what we've just heard from Ian and what we've just seen on the screen. A blue box will come round. If you've come prepared to give to the Life Water Project and you feel that's your response today, then please pop something in the box. There will be an opportunity next week to do that as well. If you feel your response maybe is that you want that living water that Ian talked about today and you're thinking about that and God's speaking to you, then please respond in that way. There's plenty of people here today that will talk to you and pray with you about that. While the box is coming round, maybe we can gather just in groups on our table if we feel that's something we can do. Maybe there's needs on your table and the people around you that you can respond to this morning. Maybe there's somebody near you that needs prayer or just needs somebody to have a little chat with. Maybe you feel God's speaking to you and you need to respond closer to home. What we saw on the screen is a long way away. Maybe close to home you have neighbours, colleagues, friends. And your response maybe is to bless them this week. It doesn't have to be money. Our worship to God is our whole lives. So if he's asking you to respond in a way where you need to bless somebody this week, then can we pray about that on our tables? Well, if you're a child here this morning, you can respond to God in the same way. Maybe you have a friend, or maybe in your family at home, you can do something to bless. So can we just take a few minutes now to do that? Have we got somebody to take the box round, Kerry? Okay, and maybe we could have some kind of quiet something would be nice. Just quiet. Thank you.
You have been listening to a broadcast here from Bethel Church in Coventry. For more information and other sermons, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.